to be here speaking with you tonight. And so, I just like to start off by asking you, who are you? Who are you? It's easy to say, I'm not talking about your name, but it's easy to say, I'm a Christian, because you're sitting here in these pews right now, and it's so easy to put yourself in that light. But what about tomorrow morning when you wake up? Because the reality is that we get in the shower every morning, and we get ready, we get dressed, and we prepare to be somebody. We put on our clothes in an effort to be a certain way, a certain person. And we have to be good enough. We're supposed to be who we are supposed to be, if that makes sense. So who are we preparing for? Are we preparing for being a businessman? Maybe we're going out to the school and we want to prepare ourselves to look like an athlete or the cheerleader or the macho man. Maybe we're going to be the straight-A student. You know, we always dress and we want to look like, we want to be what this world has labeled us like we're supposed to be. Where is your identity? The world tells us that we have to be a certain way or a certain thing, and we have to be just right. We have to have just the right body type. We have to have just the right GPA, just the right cars, just the right number in your bank account, the right jobs, or you're not good enough. But then what I don't understand is, if you're overweight, you're too fat, but if you're too little, then you're too skinny. If you, if you have a really low GPA, you're an idiot. But if you have a really high GPA, then you're a nerd. If you drive a really bad car, then you're too poor. But if you drive a really nice car, then you're too rich. We have to be a certain way all the time. When it has to, and not just a certain way, but it has to be just right, or we're not good enough. We're not accepted. The world says no. We try so hard to be everything that this world is wanting us to be, but it keeps on changing. The world keeps changing its mind on who we want to be. And so the question is, who are we really supposed to be? As we explore this question, we have to realize that we have been given different labels. This world has given us so many different labels. And we tend to look at the world's expectations and we say, I'm supposed to be this, and so this is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to put on clothes. I'm going to try to be and look like this. It's what we tend to do when, no offense to my mom and dad who are here, but when mom and dad says, you have to make really good grades, and so we try to be that straight-A student. It's what we do whenever your coach says, hey, you're not good enough, so we try to be that athlete that works really hard. It's when your boss expects you to get a certain thing done, and a lot of it done, in a certain time, so that's when we become the workaholic. It's what happens when your friends expect you to do a certain thing with them, go out and be a certain way with them, and so you conform to that and you become the partier. This is where we lose ourselves, trying to skirt around and be everything for everybody. This is where we lose ourselves. Whenever we lose our identity, it's when we try to become 10 different things. When God has only called us to be one. Let's look at the nation of Israel. Come with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we're going to be in chapter 8. Start off in verse 6. God has said that He wanted to be their king. God has said, I'm the king over you. And it was working okay for a little while. And the people were okay with it for a little while. But now the people have chosen something different. We're going to start in verse 6 where he says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. God says, just give it to them, because they have rejected me. It's not you that they're rejecting. It's me. It's like, and he's saying, you know, this isn't a new thing. This isn't one of those things that I'm surprised by. But he's like, it's okay, Samuel. I'm used to this. Just join the club. Because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And you can hear the hurt in his voice in verse 8. When God says, according to all these they have done, from the day I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing also to you. And he's like, join the club. Because from day one, ever since I brought them out of captivity, ever since I freed them, it's still been they choose other gods. I'll feed them in the desert. It's not good enough for them. They choose other gods. I deliver them from their enemies. It's not good enough. They choose other gods. They choose other things to represent them. And it broke God's heart. This is often what we do is God has given us so much and we take it for granted. And therefore we tend to find our gods in other things. We tend to say, I want this to lead us now. I know God's been working out, but let's try this. Let's experiment with this. And I don't know what it is for you, but you choose it to be your king of your life for a certain time until you find out that doesn't really work for you and you're like the Israelites who come back over and over and over again. But why? Why in this case did the Israelites want another king? We read in verse 19 and 20, but the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but there shall be a king over us, that we may also be like all the other nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And it's sad, because they had God. They had God. They were the children of God. And they chose someone else. They chose a man, an earthly man, to go lead them into battle over God. Because they wanted to be like all the other nations. They took that big of a pay cut, if you will, to have another man to be like all the other nations. Every time we reject God, we take that pay cut, and just so we can be like everyone else, it breaks his heart. Just like it did to him. Because I was kind of telling the teens the other night, last Wednesday, that God is not a machine. God's not a machine. We often look at him and we say, you know, he just likes to judge everyone. He controls everything and he doesn't have real feelings. But we see over and over with his children rejecting him that God has feelings. And every time we reject God and we choose our identity, we place our identity in someone other than Him. We choose something else to fight our battles when it gets tough other than Him. It breaks His heart. Every time that I say that I'm a baseball player who happens to be a Christian, it breaks His heart after all that He's done for me. After all that He has worked out in my life, after sending His Son to die on the cross for me, sometimes I still say, I'm a baseball player who happens to be a Christian, when it should be the other way around. When I'm happier when it's the other way around. When I say, I'm a Christian who often plays baseball. But first and foremost, I'm a Christian. I'm happier that way. Every time we say, I'm a athlete, I'm a cheerleader, I'm a student, a businessman, put your career in the blank, who happens to be a Christian, it breaks his heart. Whenever we know that we could be so much happier the other way around. I'm a Christian who happens to play baseball, but first and foremost, I'm a Christian. And that's the label that matters. But all the other labels, apart from Christ, that we choose for ourselves can be so destructive. But let's talk about the ones that the world puts on us as well. We always say the world can be hard sometimes, and it can be. But let's get more specific. I sometimes can't say that word. It's kind of embarrassing. But let's get more specific. the people around us can be hard sometimes. It's not the world, it's the devil and Satan, how he kind of oppresses us. Not kind of, he does. He's like a lion looking for prey. It's the devil working where he can to get us down. And labels is how he does this a lot of times. Ugly, lazy, dumb, loser, you name it, the world probably calls us that sometimes. The world puts these labels on us that make us feel worthless, full of shame. They put these expectations on us that bear us down, and we can't possibly do that. The labels start to get to us, and in our own heads, we even believe them. We start to believe them, and that's whenever we say, I am a little bit more overweight than that guy. I'm probably not as smart as that person over there. And that's when it gets dangerous. Because we can't forget. It's too big of a thing to forget how perfectly we are made in the image of God. And how amazing God's love is for us and how perfect His grace is. That's too big of a thing. That's too big of a label to leave out whenever we're considering our lives. Saul turned Paul was full of labels. Before his trip to Damascus, he was a persecutor of Christians. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He 7 doctorate degrees or master degrees, somewhere around there. Really smart. Really, he had made a huge name for himself. But Damascus changed that. And come over with me to Acts 9. While we're turning there, a few things that we can learn from Paul or Saul's labels. First of all, what we're going to look at is how we can't let other people's labels stop us from going after them. We can't be scared of other people's labels. Acts 9, we're going to start in verse 10. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who came in your name. God commands Ananias to go to Saul, a killer of Christians, a known killer of Christians. That was his label. And he commands Ananias to go to him. And I don't call Ananias crazy for saying, Whoa, God, hold up. Let me get this right. You want me, a Christian, to go to this house, this guy named Judas, and it has Saul there, the guy that we've been hiding from for the past few years. The guy that wants to kill me. From last I know of, he wants to kill me and all of my friends. And you want me to go to this guy's house and lay my hands on him. And God's response is absolutely beautiful in verse 15. Verse 15 says, But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Saul, a killer of Christians, a persecutor of Christians, was a chosen instrument of God's. The youth group's going to make fun of me for saying this, but that is huge. That's huge. There's no other way to say it. That is huge. That means that there's no kid at your school that's too weird or too cool to go after. There's no sinner that's too sinful to go after. There's no person that's too intimidating that you can't say something about Jesus to them or be Jesus to them. Let's get more specific and more personal. There's no family member that is too stubborn that God doesn't want to use them. There's no atheist that's too unbelieving that God didn't want to use them. There's no terrorist out there that's too hateful that God doesn't want them to. And we put these labels on everybody, but Paul was incarcerated. Paul was a prisoner. Paul was an atheist. Paul was a terrorist. And look what God did with him. Look at how God takes insufficient people and does amazing things with them. Look how God takes labels and rips them off and says, I want to use you like this. I want to use this person like this to do great things for me. I don't care what they've done in the past. God says, go. For they're my chosen instrument. On the flip side of this, you're His chosen instrument too. Paul could have given up. Verse 26, very short time in his ministry. Very early time in his ministry. Verse 26, and when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. It would have been so easy for Paul to say, nope, they're never going to listen to me. I'm never going to get in with them. Even if I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I do want to be a disciple with them now, because of my past, because of what I've done, I can't. They're never going to let me in. It would have been so easy for Saul to say, okay, and just accept his fate as an outcast forever. But he didn't do that, did he? He held on to the fact that he was a chosen instrument of God. He pressed on, even though his past wasn't that great. He didn't let his past define who he was going to be in the future. And he didn't let his current label determine his actions, and neither should we. Your parents, your teachers, your coaches, your friends might all expect something different from you. And it seems like you can't be everything for everybody. And you're right. You can't be. But when we have our identity set on Jesus Christ alone, we only have to be one thing. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless that I live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me, who loves me, who loves you, and gave Himself for me and you. Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That means that this name tag right here, the Harris Fonzer one, that means nothing anymore. Because it's not me. It's not about me anymore. It's about Christ. Christ who lives in me. Because I'm dead, and Christ lives in me now because He loves me. He loves, the present tense, loves me enough to give Himself for me and be personally invested in my life now. Because when we've died and we let Christ be our identity, we don't worry about being an athlete, a businessman, straight-A student, cheerleader, macho man, America's sweetheart, whatever you want to label yourself as. We don't have to worry about all these things anymore. We can get that off of us. We can uncover a little bit more of Christ now. Possessions, that's gone too. And when we have died, and we let Christ live in us, we don't have to worry about all the world puts on us. Because we're not worthless. We're certainly not ugly. Shame, we don't need to worry about that anymore either. When we have died and we let Christ take over, this is the only label that matters. The only label that I have left on is the only one that matters. And it's time to take all the brands off. Let's take all the labels off. Because that's what the world has put on us. That's just extra weight. Anything other than this is just extra weight. It's time to get real with ourselves. It's time to take all these brands off and just live for Him. It's time to focus not on what everybody else is saying about us, what everybody else is putting on us, what we're putting on ourselves. It's not of Christ. And let's focus on the only label that God has put on us Himself. the only one that matters, because we are His. We are His. We are His chosen instruments. And that means that when we get up in the morning to go get ready, we don't have to worry about getting prepared for anybody or anything that we're not. We don't have to worry about impressing anyone by being a certain thing, because we're His. And being His is more than enough, and more than we could ever outdo ourselves. No label is more powerful than the one that I've still got on right now. There's nothing else that can beat this label right here. Anything other than a child of God, and all that entails, is just extra weight. Because we are His. And when this is the only tag, this is the only label, the only brand that I have left, it makes it so easy to answer the question that we started off with: and who are we? So I'll ask you it one more time tonight. Who are you? Right now, the answer might not be who you want it to be. And that's okay, because there's still time to change that right now. Your past doesn't define you, and it doesn't define you because of the forgiveness and grace and mercy and most of all love that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, likes to pour over us. There's no more labels that we could put on that's not extra weight other than this. There's no label that's more powerful than the child of God. I'm His. I'm His because I have put on Christ in baptism. I have died to myself, and Christ is living in me now. And that's the label that we wear. Everything else that's covering up this, it's all got to go. And if you haven't gained this label because you haven't put on Christ in baptism, and you're thinking about it, we want to help you put on that label. And we want to help you wear it proudly for all of your days. But maybe you have put on that label, and it's gotten covered up with a bunch of trash. And you want help uncovering it. We're here for you too. Anything that we can help you with, any way that we can serve you, we ask that you come now as we stand and as we sing.